Hello everyone, welcome back to my channel, and as always a quick reminder, as you know, just in case, join me on Locals, join my mailing list, and you find my website, Instagram and other links down below this video. Today, after many months of not talking to Jeff Brown, I am joined by Jeff Brown, who I had pleasure having conversation with for several times. And I contacted Jeff because I really wanted to get an update from him. But before we start, Jeff, where people can find you if they want to follow your work? What's the best way?
Well, all you have to do is, thank you, Anya. It's always lovely to talk with you and be with you across the internet. And China Rising, Radio Sinoland, four words in English, China Rising Radio Sinoland, Sinoland. Just web search it and you'll find my website. And then I also wrote the China Trilogy. So just Google search China Trilogy, Jeff Brown, and you'll find my books. And so there you go. Thank you.
Perfect. And I will attach again all the links down below this video. So let's start with this. Some of you don't know Jeff because we haven't talked for quite some time. Jeff actually is an American, but he lives in France at this moment because he lived in many different countries, as much as I'm aware of. And I would like to get an update from Jeff. First of all, let's start with France overall. How is the inflation, energy prices, and the situation for the living of regular citizens in France right now?
It's awful. Anya, by the way, I'm actually a dual national. I'm French and American. So I've got a lot of skin in this game here in France. I vote in France. I pay taxes in France. I use the medical system. I have French family here. So I consider myself as much French as I do American. It's awful. My wife was just talking about she was talking about how we used to get five or six lemons in one bag. We're now down to three. We used to get four endives, I think in English, and now we're down to two. So they're keeping the prices the same, but everything is being downsized. Shrink. Everything is being shrunk. Quantities are being shrunk and prices are going up. And of course the elites, they don't care. They don't pay taxes. I just found out this week that a representative of a deputy in the and all the regional leaders, the regional people and mayors and all these people, if they just spend one day in that position, the senators, they get thousands and thousands of euros a month in retirement, while the rest of us get hundreds, and the retirement here is so low and so awful, and it's an embarrassment.
So Jeff, prices went up as far as food. Are you able to say approximately percentage wise?
Well, then, I would say mm-hmm. with all the shrinking and the downsizing, 25%, 30%, 50%. Energy, right outside my window here. I'm pointing outside my window. The D-Day beaches are just 150 meters from here. And our fuel tank prices have tripled. Gas has gone for our car has gone from 1.2 to 1.3 euros per liter up to almost 2 liters per liter. 2 euros
two
per
euros.
Liter.
Mm-hmm.
Electricity has doubled and tripled. Thousands of small business people are declaring bankruptcy, closing their doors because they cannot afford the electricity, especially people like, high energy consumers like bakers, mm-hmm. People.
Restaurants.
Mm-hmm. Restaurants who use a lot of electricity and heating to keep the places warm. But the problem is, of course, the elites, the aristocrats, what I call the trillionaire dictators, they own the airwaves. It's never discussed. We, you know, everybody's just living in like a delusion that everything's fine and it's not. So I don't know, you know, how I think Westerners are just so used to such awful governance for 3,000 years that we just accept it and just take it. And I don't know at what point this is going to explode, but it's much, much worse than what you see in the mainstream media, what I call the big lie propaganda machine. It's much, much worse.
So overall, this is exactly what I was going with this, because as much as I know, there is a pushback in France from citizens.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
but yeah. Do you see how, when you talk to people, what is overall the approach to this? What is like their stand to this? How they feel?
Well,
what they think is the solution here?
I would say that most of them are in denial. I think most of them are it's like make believe. You know, I mean, they're deluded. I mean, they're absolutely deluded. The mainstream media, the big lie propaganda machine, keeps rolling out one distraction after another. There's a stand-up comedian named, I think his name is Pierre Palmade, who, you know, ran over some people and killed a mother. And that's it. It's just all this, you know, what my Chinese friend Wei Ling Chua calls tittytainment, you know, because it's just all this just stuff about sex and drugs and scandals and this and wokeism and people are just distracted. And mm-hmm. I think they're compartmentalizing what's going on. Now the big deal today, there's a national strike. Tomorrow they're going to do it also. Tomorrow they've had several national strikes, but here's something very, very telling, that even though they're having all these national strikes, I glanced at the TV a couple of nights ago, and 62/3 of the French think that all of these protests are going to do no good, and that they're going to reform the retirement system anyway, and only 1/3 think that these protests are going to help. So and of course,
but do you sorry to interrupt ahead. Do you believe in those statistics, or they are also
faked? That's a good point.
Because maybe they are saying this to discourage people.
Mm-hmm. There's so much psychological operation going on here. You just have no idea what to believe. But this was a privately owned, you know, a privately owned conservative, you know, TV station.
CNews.
It wasn't the government. But of course, they have to toe the line too, or they'll lose their license. So anyway, it's, you know, we're hanging in here. We're hanging in there, you know, like I'm wearing gloves, you know, to warm my hands, because, you know, we're trying to use as little heat as possible. It's cold, you know, I mean, I've got a scarf on, you know, and I'm not running the heater in my room, because, you know, at 2 euros a liter for heating fuel, you know, it goes fast. So I don't know. I mean, where this is going to go, it's just demoralizing that, you know, the elections have been rigged, and, you know, at least going back since Sarkozy and then Hollande and now Macron, I mean, the elections were totally rigged.
Tell me now, Jeff, with Macron, because he's hanging as well. He's not so solid now as far as his presidency, right? Am I correct?
Yeah,
how is this looking for him? Tell me, because people are more and more against, is it true, against his presidency? Or how does it look like? Is there any chance for Le Pen to be back or no?
Well, what they will do is, Mélenchon, the supposed left, he's not going to run again, but they're co-opted by the trillionaire dictators. This is not China. This is not Venezuela. This is not Iran, where they've got real people's socialism. The left is co-opted. The whole system is rigged. Macron is in his second term, in his last term. So what does he care? He's going to, Goldman Sachs, he's a Pygmalion, of the Goldman Sachs. He'll retire and be a multi-millionaire. He doesn't care.
But do you think he will actually go to the end of his presidency? Because you think he will?
Oh, yeah.
You don't think they're going to vote him out or?
Oh no! Impossible. The Senate is totally, totally bought and sold by the trillionaire dictators. The Chamber of Deputies is totally sold out, and now every time they want to do something, they just use Article 49.3 of the Constitution, which is basically just a legislative override. They're now passing. I mean, since Hollande, I mean, that's all they do. They're just passing laws by fiat. The prime minister says, who is appointed by the president, of course, they just say, okay, Article, we'll let you blow off hot air in the legislative branch, for a couple of weeks and make it look like we've got a real democracy here in France and there's real deliberation and real discussion and some protests. And then they just enforce Article 49.3, Article 49, Section 3, and they just override whatever the legislature says. They can sign all the laws they want by executive fiat. That's what Hollande did with the French Patriot Act. He just passed it. That's what they can do now. So there's no democracy. With Hollande, forcing the Patriot Act when he was first in office. We've just like the United States, we have the Constitution is dead. The French Constitution is dead. There's no deliberative democracy, and there has been none since Hollande was elected back in 2007, I think it was. So, everybody's just kind of, compartmentalizing all this misery, and we're having big, massive protests today, but they'll go ahead and they'll just pass the retirement reforms over the heads of the people, like they have been for the last 15 years.
But Jeff, I got some comments, I think, after our last interview from viewers. They were talking about there is a very strong movement in the countryside, like small communities that people gather and they support one another with the produce. So I feel like maybe this is the way to go in this.
Absolutely.
What do you think? Do you know any people like this? Do you hear about those kind of like small communities that actually becoming more and more, as much as they can, to be independent away from that system?
Absolutely. We have a garden, we grew vegetables all last year, and there's another vegetable garden planted for this year. That is one shining hope for France, is that the rural areas of France are still very, very dynamic. There's a lot of cohesion in the rural community. And so that's hopeful. Obviously voting doesn't matter, because maybe at the local level, but maybe up to the mayoral level. But once you get to the regional level, and then of course national level, it's they are simply puppets of the trillionaire dictators. And there's a socialist mayor. There's a socialist mayor down the road here about 15 kilometers away from us. But, you know, the mayor in Cherbourg is a socialist, but, you know, there's some socialist, you know, mayors and communities and city councils, you know, but, you know, it's like a few fleas on the elephant's rump. But yeah, the rural area is hopeful. So go local, you know, it doesn't do any good to vote, and they'll never let Le Pen in. And they will rig the election so that there'll be another phony Macronite, you know, against her. So then, and then they'll demonize her in the mass media, in the big lie propaganda machine, that she's a, you know, a fire breathing fascist, and she's going to destroy the, you know, she's going to, you know, destroy the world, and we'll keep having these, you know, awful, you know, Biden, Schultz, Sunak in the UK, Boris Johnson, these people, they're buffoons. They're just complete, total buffoons. So,
I feel somehow, even though I know what you mean, I still feel there is a chance, and I still see it's going to collapse, all of this. It's just not sustainable. Sustainable, and sooner or later, and they know it. We all know it. They know it. We know it. it's not going to last. It doesn't matter what they try. It's just painful to go through this for everyone. But I want to ask you about Africa now.
I lived there for 10 years and worked there for 10 years.
What country, Jeff, was it? And tell me this relationship now between France and some African countries. What do you make out of it? And from your knowledge, as you said, you live there. So if you can share with us.
Well, I lived and worked in Tunisia for 2 years. And then I lived and worked for 5 years in Algeria. And then I was a regional director. This was back in my high-flying executive days, when I was making a lot of money. Of course, that was all lost in a bankruptcy in 2008. But anyway, I was a high-flying executive for all of the Middle East and all of Africa. So I traveled all over Africa and the Middle East, you know, for 10 years. And it was just an amazing people, the amazing culture, the history. That's totally denied by the West. Much, much more advanced and sophisticated. You know, if you get behind all the racism, the Western racism. So yeah, I've been to most of the countries in Africa, and I've been to most of the countries in the Middle East. You know, working there. And yes, it is French West Africa. You know, Macron has been made a fool. He has made a fool of himself. He is such a megalomaniac and such a narcissist that everybody, he is a Goldman Sachs Pygmalion. He has been created by Goldman Sachs. He came from nowhere, and he is nothing more than a finger puppet for the city of London and Wall Street. So he goes to Africa. He pisses off everybody he meets. He is so arrogant and so out of touch. You know, Algeria, which suffered, you know, for 132 years of vicious colonialism, he's, you know, one of the most powerful countries in Africa, you know, gas and oil and, you know, everything else, phosphates and everything else. He's pissed them off. They don't want to talk to him. Morocco doesn't want to talk to him. And now we've got three countries in West Africa who have basically told the French to go to hell and to leave. And that is the Central African Republic. That is Mali. And that is Burkina Faso. And they have actually told and made the French military leave their countries, their Barkhan military. You know, they've been there for 10 years. And of course, what were they doing? Just like the Americans everywhere else, they were funding and supporting the terrorists to weaken the governments so that, and then have the excuse, well, you need us because look at all of this violence.
The regime change, right? Regime change. Another thing.
You have to have a regime change.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Burkina Faso remembers Thomas Sankara. You know, they assassinated him. The French don't even deny having assassinated 22 African presidents, African leaders.
22.
22. I have the list in one of my books. So anyway, he has pissed off everybody. And then he went to the Democratic Republic of Congo, which used to be Zaire, one of the wealthiest, biggest countries in Africa. And I don't know if you saw the little clip, but he got it at the press conference at the end of the press at the end of his visit. He got into a fight, a verbal fight with the president of a major African country. And the president of the DRC was pointing his finger at him and talking back at him and telling him he was wrong on television. Africa's standing up. They've got a billion people. They've got the world's vastest resources. Angola just discovered another huge oil deposit offshore. You know, it's China's there. And what's really interesting, and Russia's there. And what's really interesting is that not only have they kicked out the French, they are publicly saying, we love Russia and we love China. And they are calling the Russians and the Chinese to come in and basically replace the French. And this is something that, who could have thought of this, you know, in 1402, when Spain first invaded the Canary Islands and exterminated the 80,000 people on the Canary Islands to start, you know, Western colonialism and imperialism. The Africans are standing up. They are saying no to the West. They are gaining a greater voice around the world. And a lot of this is thanks to the Chinese and the Russians, because the Chinese and the Russians, of course, are supporting them and cooperating with them. And it's not just sub-Saharan Africa, it's Egypt and Algeria now is inviting the Russians in. Egypt is doing incredible. They're building a whole brand new capital, a capital in outside of Cairo, and the Chinese are building it with the Egyptians. And it's not just Africa. The Middle East is starting to say, to hell with the United States. We're sick of this. You know, the Saudis are have an RMB, Chinese yuan oil contract in hand, and are just dangling it, in front of Biden's face. And there's rumors now that Saudi Arabia is already doing RMB yuan contracts for oil, and doing it without making it public, which means they're not using the dollar. You know, the whole, again, I'm hopeful in spite of the local mess that we have here in Europe and basically the whole West, Australia, New Zealand, what I call your Wranglo land, the awful genocide in Palestine, North America, NATO, in spite of all of this, I am very hopeful. I see 500 years of colonialism, and I see 3,000 years of Western hegemony going back to the ancient Greeks, starting to finally come down. And we can thank, Russia, China, Iran, North Korea, Venezuela, Cuba, Eritrea in Africa, and all these countries are starting to wake up and say no. And
so, tell me, do you do, but do you do you Let me ask you this, because when you were talking about Africa, I strongly feel that there is the future of Africa is so the potential there that is it needs to be reborn again because it was so destroyed on many levels. But Jeff, do you think that Europe will recover? And if it will recover, do you see any time frame for this? Or you think it's going to be for a long time getting worse and worse? How do you see that?
Well, as you know, we've talked about this. The problem is that since 1945, you know, with the D-Day beaches right outside my window, the problem is that the United States has infected the European hierarchy. Brussels, all the national governments, all except for Serbia and Hungary, who are standing up against the United States and NATO. But the major countries in Europe, of course, we know about Eastern Europe, how crazy they are against the Russians. But, you know, Italy, Germany, France, we can say England, you know, they have been so infected with fifth columnists. You know, the United States has just put in basically stooges who are more loyal to Washington than they are to their own people. And they would have to get rid of like thousands and thousands and thousands of people in these administrations because they're all bought and sold and loyal and bribed.
It's everywhere. Yeah, it's everywhere.
Extorted, mm-hmm. extorted. You know, by the United States. You know, we know where your wife works. We know where your children go to school. Mm-hmm. And this is how the United States works. And this is how they work. This is how they do business. So what will obviously make it happen is the collapse of the US dollar. I mean, when they finally realize that the United States will never pay back that $30 trillion in debt, and it's actually much higher than that, that will cause the euro to crash. That will cause the U.S. dollar to crash, and it will valuate the Chinese yuan, the Russian ruble.
But isn't it already done, Jeff? In a way, dollar already? I'm not saying completely dead, but maybe it is already dead. We just don't know it.
Well, that's true. It's that old expression: if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it happened, you know, did it really fall? How they can keep controlling the gold price, how they can keep controlling the silver price, how they can keep inflating the stock markets, is obviously because they have the big lie propaganda machine. And it's kind of like the Wizard of Oz, if you remember that movie, you know, mm-hmm. the Wizard mm-hmm. of Oz, you know, it's like this old sickly man behind this big, you know, veil, but he's a nobody. Mm-hmm. You know, he's just bluster. But unfortunately, you know, a dollar still counts around the world, and there's going to have to be a time when there's just what they call a run on the dollar, where the dollar starts to, and you know, become so devalued, like the Deutsche Mark of the Weimar Republic, or you know, yeah, back in the 19th century.
It's so, historical cycle. No, it is. Yeah, it's like we are repeating very similar historical moments in many countries, actually, at this point. That's how I see it too. Yes.
Well, and I go back to Russia and China. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thanks to you and Iran and the DPRK, which I call the Asian Quad. As long as they stick together and control Asia, the West is screwed. And the tipping point, the tectonic, you know, shift, the tectonic plate, you know, geopolitical shift, of course, is Ukraine. And so the Russians are bleeding the West dry. The Chinese and the Russians are you know, like brothers in arms. I mean, they're just like indivisible, you know. They've got Iran, you know, who's got, you know, the Middle East, you know, at attention, the DPRK with hyper-gliding thermonuclear missiles that can take out the east coast of the United States. You know,
I hope this never happens.
Well, yeah, I know, but the threat is extremely, extremely concerning. You know, the fact that they can actually do it keeps the United States a little bit at bay. So, it's got to come down. But it's, to me, it's got to go to the dollar once the dollar starts to run. But they own the media, they own the banks, they own, you know, the stock exchanges, they own the commodities market, you know, the commodity exchanges. How long they can keep it up, I don't know. I guess people like you and me, you know, as we've gone from four endives now down to two endives, and I guess we'll get to one endive per package, and then it'll be when it costs three times as much, you know, and, you know, 12 times as much as what it used to cost. maybe at that point, the people will just flood the streets but what really upsets me is that these strikes are worthless. I said this on a show with Press TV. I said if they really wanted these strikes to be effective, they would all go around and they would surround the Élysée where Macron lives and works. They would go to the national legislature and surround the legislature. And they would go to the Central Bank of France and surround the Central Bank of France and not leave. Well, then there might be some changes. But going out on Champs-Élysées, you know, for a couple of days and blowing off steam is not going to, it's going to take a lot more than that.
Thank you, Jeff. I will end on something maybe not expected, but okay. I will say it just came to me because in spite of it all, there is one thing I truly believe in, and this is divine intervention. Mm-hmm. And in a way, it's as crazy it might sound to some viewers, I believe that God is actually showing us through this experience so much that we will not knew if we wouldn't be going through this pain, unfortunately. But at the end of the day, I believe God is in charge and there is always miracles are happening. And this can be, I know this doesn't sound like geopolitical now, but there is divine intervention. Mm-hmm. So many people will not go to those protests. Maybe they just ask in their hearts and they pray for change. And they are important too, because that's how this world is. It's not just what we see with our eyes, right? There is some supernatural mm-hmm. power. So I might sound strange to some people, but I know many of the people will understand what I'm talking about. So,
well, I practice Buddhist meditation every day, religiously, if you'll pardon the pun. I practice Buddhist meditation every day. And so I will include this wavelength of power and optimism and spirituality in my Buddhist meditation tonight before I go to bed.
Thank you, Jeff. Merci beaucoup.
De rien, Madame Aniaka.
Thank you so much, everyone, for watching us. And if you would like to follow Jeff's work or read his books, please check out the links that are in the description box. And if you enjoy the content, please hit that like button and we'll see you in the next video. Lots of love, everyone.
Please send me a link and I'll promote it on my
end. I will. Thank you, Jeff.